Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast, and I'm your host, Mike Wobschall, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. Yes, we have returned from the home of Vikings training camp, Mankato, Minnesota, back to Eden Prairie, Vikings headquarters here at Winter Park. And we're here to rehash what happened in last Saturday night's preseason game where the Vikings defeated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we'll look ahead a little bit to the Oakland Raiders, the next preseason opponent for your Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings and Raiders square off on Saturday night. The main takeaways from last Saturday night's win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We start, of course, with some bad news. The injury to Phil Loadholt. It was the second play of the game on Saturday night. Big Phil went down holding his ankles. Turns out it's a torn Achilles tendon, confirmed by Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner on Monday. Looks like he will have surgery and be done for the season. So we feel bad about that, but we have to look at what's ahead for the Vikings, and it looks like it'll be rookie fourth rounder TJ Clemmings who gets first chance at that right tackle spot. He stepped in for Phil and played pretty well on Saturday night. I happened to go back and watch all 32 of his snaps from that game. A few observations. He handled stunts very well with right guard Mike Harris. The Buccaneers tried three TE stunts where the defensive tackle and the defensive end play a game and they loop and they go in and they go out and they try and confuse the offensive lineman. But Mike Harris and TJ Clemmings were not fooled. They handled each of those three stunts very well. Defensive end Larry English beat TJ Clemmings on a bull rush a couple of series into Clemmings' stint. But then later in the first half, defensive end William Golston tried to bull rush and Clemmings handled it very well. And on that play where Clemmings handled it well, Adam Thielen scored his touchdown. So we saw some success there. Another observation, when TJ Clemmings is on the move and he gets his hands on a defender, it's over, Johnny. Clemmings on the move, very athletic. When he gets his hands, he's strong enough and athletic enough that if he can get his hands on a defender when he's on the move, he's going to find some success. Bottom line, and as Norv Turner said on Monday, TJ Clemmings just needs more experience to start playing better.
Biggest downside about the NFL and the hardest thing is there are injuries involved. And when you come into a training camp, you know, people think this guy's a long shot or this guy is there just for camp and he's going to be gone. And I emphasize to our guys, there's a lot of things that happen over the 5 or 6 weeks you're in camp. And if you get down because you're not getting reps, or you get down because you didn't get to play in the game very much, and you don't keep improving, then you take away your chances to be a part of this team. And there's just examples every week of it happening and through the entire league. And you know, I thought TJ Clemmings, he's improving since he got here. I thought he's having an outstanding camp. He played well in the Hall of Fame game. He gets thrown into to action earlier in the game than he thought, and I thought he played extremely well. He's a young player with a bright future, and he's going to have to step it up. And you know, our offensive line, I think, has played well in both games. Mike Harris looks awfully good at right guard. Pusco looks awfully good at left guard. You know, Matt has, Khalil has had two good outings. So I think we've made progress, and we identified things in the offseason we need to do to help them be better. We identified things for them to do to get better. And I think the combination of those things is showing up.
Norv, obviously depends on the player and the team, but how tough is it for a rookie offensive lineman to come in, start the first week, and what are the real challenges when you?
Well, the challenges to me end up being, as I always talk to him about, he's got to learn how to manage the game, manage play in the position, and he's got to get to where he and Mike Harris are communicating at a high level. And then he's got to understand the preparation you have to have to play in this league, and then understand that each week he's going to go against probably the best player he's played against to this point in his career. Yeah, obviously, when you have a young lineman playing, it puts an extra on the coaches. We got to manage what we're doing and make sure we put them in the best position to be successful.
But
What a skill set does TJ have, and do you see some of the traits that made him, you know, he was a top defensive end prospect just a few years ago. Do you see some of those?
I think he's improved a great deal, and we've spent a lot of extra time on pass protection. I think that's where he's really improved. He's an explosive player. He's got good feet. He uses his hands well. He just, you know, he's inexperienced. That's the one thing you'd say where he's got to catch up.
Alternative options to TJ Clemmings if things don't work out the right way. The Vikings could consider moving Mike Harris to right tackle, where he has more playing experience actually at right tackle than he does at right guard. And then they could find a new right guard from within or either on the free agent market or the trade market. Another option is to go straight to the trade market or the free agent market to find a new right tackle to replace Phil Loadholt and leave Mike Harris at right guard if they don't believe in TJ Clemmings. But I think the right answer, at least for now, is to give a shot to TJ Clemmings. He's played well enough in camp and in the preseason to be awarded that chance, and I look forward to him earning that starting job as the Vikings right tackle. Let's see what that rookie fourth rounder has. That's about it, though, for the bad news in the aftermath of Saturday's game. Lots of good news to go over, and we start with the most important position in all of sports, the quarterbacks, where the Vikings quarterbacks are hot. Teddy Bridgewater stayed hot, and Sean Hill struck twice against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last week, Teddy was efficient. This week, he was explosive. Teddy Bridgewater went 7 of 8 for 86 yards in 3 series of action, and that included completions of 26 yards and 24 yards to Jarius Wright, and then an 18-yarder that was nice to Kyle Rudolph. His long completion last week was 13 yards, so that he had 3 completions longer than his longest completion last week in just 8 attempts is very good news. Under Teddy Bridgewater, the Vikings offense picking up yardage in chunks, and you love to see that. Saturday night's performance gives Bridgewater a 2015 two-game preseason box score of 12 completions and 14 attempts for 130 yards with no touchdowns and no interceptions. Keep in mind, it all comes without the services of the best running back in the NFL, Adrian Peterson, striking fear into the hearts and minds of defenses. It will be fun to watch Bridgewater operate in his second year in this offense with number 28 in the backfield. Also impressive on Saturday night, backup quarterback Sean Hill.
On 3rd and 8, Hill takes the snap. He's going to fire deep left for Patterson. Caught back left of the end zone, touchdown. Sean Hill, Cordero Patterson, 21-yard touchdown, 15-3 Vikings.
Mr. Hill was 8 of 9 for 104 yards with 2 touchdowns and no picks. That's a passer rating of 154.4. Does not get much better than that. He showed command of the offense. He shows that he still has some zip on the ball, and he's convinced me that he can come in and help the Vikings win games if Teddy becomes unavailable.
2nd and 6 in the Buccaneers red zone. Hill deep drop, dump left. Pop Thielen inside the 10, turns up 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings. Touchdown, Adam Thielen. And it's a Vikings vault into the stands. Detroit Lakes go crazy. Adam Thielen with a touchdown, and the Vikings lead 22-3.
All right, so you combine Bridgewater and Hill on Saturday night against Tampa Bay, and the box score reads 15 of 17 for 190 yards with 2 touchdowns, no picks, a passer rating of 152.5. It's fun to have the quarterbacks playing this well, and we'd be remiss not to mention the pass protection on Saturday night, which was also very good. The results showed 82% completion rate for all 3 Vikings quarterbacks, 8.9 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, and just 1 sack allowed. Bravo, Vikings pass protection. One of the better training camp battles to watch has been that of the safety position opposite starter Harrison Smith. One takeaway from the preseason game against Tampa Bay, Antoine Exum keeps making plays for the 2nd consecutive game. The second-year safety, Antoine Exum, got his hands on a turnover last week in Canton. He scooped up an Audie Cole forced fumble, returned it 32 yards, and on Saturday night against Tampa Bay, Exum ball-hawked his way to an interception. Returned that one 34 yards, intercepted a Jameis Winston pass that was slightly overthrown. Exum in the right spot at the right time, grabbed it and returned it 34 yards into Buccaneers territory.
Takes the snap, five-step drop, looks right, passes right, intercepted. Antone Exum turns it up far side. 40, 30, cuts back at the 25, and that's where he stopped. You want more playing time? Get a fumble recovery in Canton and pick off the first overall pick in the draft, and it'll happen.
Exum is challenging Robert Blanton for that starting job in the Vikings defense, and his role in those two turnovers are going to help him quite a bit. It feels like Exum is clearly the number two guy in the race for that starting job behind Robert Blanton, as he, Andrew Sendejo, and Anthony Harris challenge Blanton for that starting position. Another takeaway from Saturday night, I thought the kicking game was sharp. After each having a moment or two they'd like back in the preseason opener last week in Canton against Pittsburgh, I thought punter Jeff Locke and kicker Blair Walsh each played well Saturday night. Jeff Locke had a net average of 39.4 yards on five punts, with four of those punts landing inside the Tampa Bay 20. That's what you want to see. Jeff Locke had a touchback against the Steelers 2 weeks ago. You hate seeing that. No touchbacks against Tampa Bay, and had four of his five punts land inside the 20. Great job, Jeff Locke. Also, the Vikings punt team as a whole allowed negative 2 yards on two returns. You got to credit the guys running down and making tackles, but you also got to give Jeff Locke some credit for the hang time, which allows those guys to run down there and make tackles. Also, and not to be underrepresented, Jeff Locke as the holder was very good, holding for Blair Walsh's PATs and field goals. Speaking of Walsh, he was a perfect 2 of 2 on field goals, hitting from 42 and 46 yards. He was also 2 for 2 on his point afters. Walsh, 6 kickoffs, 5 of the 6 reached the end zone, 2 went for touchbacks, and of the 4 that were returned, the total was 81 return yards. So a very solid night for the Vikings special teams, a great night for punter Jeff Locke, and a great night for kicker Blair Walsh. You love to see that. All right. It's not all rainbows and sunshines for the Vikings as they hit the film room and the practice fields this week to prepare for the Oakland Raiders. So where are the opportunities for improvement? I see 3 areas from Saturday night's game. Too many fumbles. The Vikings lost 3 fumbles. Joe Banyard, Zach Line, and Dominique Williams all responsible for dropping the ball and losing a fumble. It's kind of like the game of golf for any of those of you out there who like to play golf. You can put a string of 5 or 6 pars together, throw in a couple of birdies, but one bad hole, a double bogey, it ruins your whole round. And so whenever you lose a fumble like that as a running back, you just cringe. So those guys, they can improve their ball security, come out against the Oakland Raiders, and show improvement in that area. Too many penalties. The Vikings were penalized 7 times for 60 yards. The one that comes to mind right away is the Cordero Patterson unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Listen, physical mistakes are going to happen. You might clutch a jersey here or there or block behind the back when you don't mean to, but the unsportsmanlike penalties, those mental mistakes, are things that Mike Zimmer wants to eliminate. And third, the third down conversions. Offensively, not converting enough, and defensively giving up too many. I think Mike Zimmer would like to see some improvement in both of those areas. So those are the opportunities for improvement as the Vikings are back here at Winter Park this week, and they are beginning their preparations, not just for the 2015 season, but for the next preseason game, which happens Saturday night at home at the University of Minnesota. The opponent will be the Oakland Raiders. We see some former Vikings on Saturday night, folks. How about Jack Del Rio? He is the Raiders head coach, former Vikings linebacker. Mike Tice, the Raiders offensive line coach, former Vikings player, and former Vikings coach. Bill Musgrave, our most recent offensive coordinator, is now the Raiders offensive coordinator, and of course, quarterback Christian Ponder, who is the backup to Derek Carr. We'll get a little bit of Christian Ponder on Saturday night. So it should be a fun night. We see lots of familiar faces, and we try and improve. We try and improve on a perfect preseason record. The Vikings 2-0 right now in this year's preseason, and 6-0 overall under Mike Zimmer in the preseason. Lots to look forward to for the Vikings on Saturday night and the rest of the preseason as we build up to the regular season. Remember, folks, stay tuned to Vikings.com for photo, for video, for written content. If you haven't downloaded the Vikings app, be sure to do that and get that content delivered straight to your mobile device. Until next time, that's it for this episode of the Wobcast. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. Talk to you next time.